BBR Radio. I don't know what y'all listening to, but where we at? Yes. Keanu, let's go. DJ FMI. Yes. Yes. We here. Lee. Let's go.
Keanu, I told you I got you, baby. FMI, I told you we got you, baby.
BPR. Keanu, feeling the queen on it. She's screaming it mean on it. She's swift with a beam on it.
Whoa.
Mean bonnet, flow like a stream on it. Even Mr. Clark Steele wouldn't have a lean on it. Word to my pop, Rubik's Cuban. Cuban Rubik's, I'm damn doing, I'm damn ruined. Half human, 50% cybernetics. Half human, visualizing the past, I'm past you. Beeping this spot, murder down, past you. Funeral is your body viewing is down too. Uptown, heavy D and the boys, I'm damn grooving. Listen to the flow, EMI, Keanu and my DJ, FMI. XM, why the f*** would I be FMY? Upside down, down to the upside I. Keanu and my DJ, FMI, let's go. BPR Radio, DJ FMI. And my girl, Keanu, baby. Tell me what you thinking. What's on your mind? BPR Radio.
Yeah, that drive was lethal. I'm sitting there. We're heading there. It's like an hour and change. We were deep. And I'm like, all right, you know what I mean?
I know. That's why I haven't gone out yet. Like, I've gone to see Z-Tech out there before for another business meeting. Yeah. But he's been asking me to come on that show, and it's 2 a.m.
Yo,
even
Spay was just like, yo, you and Keanu got the perfect segment time. Yeah. He's like, bro, y'all don't even know how, like, great the timing as far as, like, when people tune in.
It's true. And we've always had a good time because our primetime spot was also ideal.
Yeah, the energy's different when you're 2 to 1. Which, for me, you know, I'm in game mode. I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was definitely just, like, it's different when you're at 2 a.m.,
yeah.
11 a.m. to where we were on Tuesdays. What did we have? Tuesdays we had 8?
Yeah,
what
we had 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great time.
That was a great prime time.
Yeah, for my, we're live here on VPR Radio. As of course, you see me with these sunglasses because last night was mad real. Make sure y'all check out
that. I was just about to say that.
Make sure y'all check out that interview 86 got dropping. And of course, we're here with Keanu, the one and only Keanu the Goddess.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited. We've had so many dope back-to-back guests from The System to Mr. Riley, Cedric.
Yeah, yeah, back-to-back great interviews. On
some epic things. I want to give a big shout-out to Lachi and thank you again for hand-choosing me to be one of your panelists.
That was awesome. VPR, even if it's live, quick round of applause for Keanu.
Thank you.
In his work and his ground.
Round of applause for the panelists because they are super dope. And the more they talked about everything they're doing, the more inspired I was by everything that we're doing and everything that I'm doing in business. And it just felt really humbling to be in the presence of such amazing creatives. So that was great. It went by just like our show, you know, and like,
right, just like that.
I was like, oh, it's over already.
You know what needs to be over already? The damn election.
Oh, please.
No. VPR, like I always get on here and I always tell y'all, and I reiterate this a whole bunch of times. The time has come to vote already. If you didn't vote, you know what I mean? I'm not going to say your opinion doesn't matter. I'm not going to just violate like that. But try to vote next time. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter for which side. But yeah, Biden, come on, man. You know, I'm wearing this red. I'm a man. I'm big on principles, VPR. I'm big on character. I try to be. You know what I'm saying? So if I can't sit across from somebody and we can't mirror the same, not even, we don't have to believe in the same thing. That's okay.
No. Yeah. It's okay to have those differences.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't believe in berating people and chastising people and speaking down upon them like our president does. And I can't have him speak to me because I wouldn't do that to anyone else.
You know, right. Like our current president.
Wait, the 45th? What number is he?
Huh?
What number is Trump? What
45. Or do you they know, count him as 46?
I guess people are really starting to call him 45 now. Instead of that's funny. I'm like, President 45.
Mm-hmm. 45. That's how they refer to him as a long time. Just 45, no name.
That's how much.
45 be out here bugging. Yeah. It's like how we refer to the cops as 12.
Yeah.
You only get numbers if you're a bad guy.
VPR. I've never seen somebody just be a sore loser, a sore winner, and just sore in general. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If it's not crowd size, it's not what I did and how I made the economy better. And if it's not that, he doesn't give any praise to anyone. It's all me. That's my issue with it. And it takes way more than one person in order to make any kind of change in this country. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I completely agree. And I stress that's why it's so important not just to think about the presidential candidates, but the people that are actually in charge between, you know, Congress, House of Representatives, Senate, judicial, obviously. This country has so far to go. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm like, yeah, Biden for president.
I'm not.
I'm definitely not. Like,
he was for me, but it's okay.
These options are, they're no good. They're no good. But I definitely know that Trump is no good. And you could already see the type of environment that he's created just through hostility. You know,
I've seen even some of his teachers come out against him and say, you know, he has not been one of the best students. Which, that's opinion, you know what I mean? As far as that. But
hey, everybody.
Little Pimp got on stage and made an embarrassment of himself. Little Pimp. We're not referring to him as Little Pump no more. Little Pimp VPR from now on. We're going to cancel that. You know what I'm saying? Screw the canceling. What we're going to do is, I never listen to his music like that anyway. He's just not going to get as much burn in my Serato person.
Right.
I don't mind you having a different belief, but I can't watch you say fuck Donald Trump 2 years ago and now you over there, let's go down. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I get that he's a young man, Kiana, and he, you know what I mean? And he trolls and stuff like that. Like, that's cool. But that it has ramifications. This is real life. You're going through it.
It just shows you how easily people are bought and sold.
Yo,
modern day slavery is very, very real.
Bought, sold, shipped. What do you want to call it? Cause, you gotta have some. You gotta have some principles with it, some class.
Have some class, goddamn.
You know what I'm saying? Some class. That's all we have. You got Lil Pimp. You got Kanye getting 50,000 votes.
Boy, how many votes did he get? No, he actually had people vote for him.
50,000 people sat there.
Good for you, Yay.
Yes. Voted for him. You know what I mean?
Good for you, Yay. Pulling out those 50,000. So basically, he can sell more albums than he can get votes.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm afraid of, Kiana, is this, like, with the Trump presidency, it's not substance anymore as far as, like, what they're trying to put in office. It's the person that can speak and yell the loudest in the room. And if you look at Trump, what's more New Yorker than him being braggadocious and being...
Put us down as New Yorkers and put us in that same
different breed, though, Kiana.
Type of category. Listen.
I'm just saying.
For me, I've always known that the smartest person in the room is not the loudest, okay? Because the smart people know how to listen. And the problem goes beyond, you know, the scope of his huge ego. There goes Marcus. Hey, Marcus.
How you doing?
Welcome. We were just talking a little ish about Trump and his... Oh. Overly inflated ego and how he goes beyond even being able to be humble enough, because it's not as if he has a political background. So it would only make sense for you to take advisement from those that have been doing it before you. You're coming from a real estate, you're coming from a building and stealing money from other people, butchering companies and such. Corporate takeovers. You're not coming from politics.
We got to be fair, too. I'm also, my guest is jumping into a hot topic discussion like this. I'm just like, that's not, normally we don't start VPR like that.
I know, right? We like jump right in.
It's like, it's crazy because it's like we're watching the season finale of the United States.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. And it's a nail biter.
Like, what's going on? Like, I've never seen in my whole life something like this. It's a hot mess. It's a hot mess.
It's crazy. Yeah. But we don't want to talk about that anymore. We're here to talk about you. Welcome to the show, Marcus. I'm so glad you were able to make it today. I was reading up on you. We have some of, your music, but we really want to know all about you. You're a musical prodigy. Tell us all about your background, how you got started, what's going on with your family, your production crew.
Originally, you know, from Brooklyn, New York. Come from Yeah.
I was going to do it, but I was like, let me hold in my inner.
Yeah, hold my inner. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, come from a family. It's like the seven of us, you know what I mean? But yeah, very musical background. My mom, she had like a crazy record collection. My father, he played a few instruments. And yeah, I picked up the guitar around 2 years old.
Yeah.
Playing, yeah, my first gig professionally was like 9 years old. And yeah, I've been playing pretty much.
9 years old. Yeah. First professional gig.
I believe it. Yo, VPR, if you check out this man's Instagram, I'm watching him playing festivals. And then before Corona, I'm sitting there watching him go off, and I'm just like, he's doing this effortlessly.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. That is, when you're on stage, I'm watching you, it's just you and your guitar, and you're focused. Right. And I'm watching all these people behind you, they're staring, and I'm just like, he's here, and I get that. I was awesome to watch.
Yeah, because most musicians, guitar players, you know, they have to make the phase and go all out. They're like, man, you're like, you're very calm and composure. You don't really
a lot,
but that's just me. I'm kind of cool, calm, and collected. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much it.
He's like, this is me just being really dope, doing what I do. It's effortless.
So, what made you pick up the guitar?
What made me pick up the guitar is, to be honest with you, I've been playing since you know, birth. You know what I mean? My mom, she used to say, you know, when she was pregnant with me, you know, anytime that, you know, she would play music around the house, I would always be kicking.
Yeah.
You know, music has been pretty much born with me, you know, and from, like I said, from 2 years old, I don't know, it just drew something to me, and yeah, I've been going ever since with it. So, you know what I mean? I could say actually, the blessing that I've been playing all my life and to be up to this point and, you know, to actually do this for a living, you know, it's a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's definitely awesome. Yeah. So what was your first time as far as like being on stage? Like, can you explain that experience to me of you saying, all right, this is my first show, this is my first concert, or whether it started when you were young?
Yeah, I mean, from young, I think my very first concert that I can remember was my kindergarten graduation. If there's VHS tapes out there somewhere, it's lost, but I did what's the song? I did Jimi Hendrix, When Cries Mary. And I'll never forget that. That was like my first official
kindergarten graduation.
Yeah, I'm just like, the guitar bigger than him. He's just,
It was. And for me, that was my first, you know, actual like show, and just to see the reaction of people, I was like, wow. And that's from the kids. It was just, you know, that was it. That's all I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So yeah, I could probably say kindergarten was the first show that really said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to do
it. You ever sat there and thought about like, what did your other classmates think? They're like, look at this kid playing this thing. All the grown-ups looking at him like, what?
Crazy, because like I said, for me, like even in school, like to be honest with you, I always kept the music kind of quiet, you know what I mean? I never really told anybody that I played music. I was more into like sports and play basketball and track. And it was like my teachers would come out, go to the club, and they would see me play, and they'd be like, wait a minute, that's our student Marcus.
Wow.
And school would find out about it, and then that was pretty
much awesome.
That is
awesome.
When did you know that this was what you wanted to do for the rest of your life? And how did you decide how you would create the steps to make that your reality?
For me, I would definitely say 9 years old. 9 years old. That was my first professional gig, because this was at the time, there was like a show chase in Florida. I think it was like in Tampa, Florida, where they had like hip hop, you know, R&B, a lot of different genres. And I was like the youngest kid playing, and I never forget it. It was like the day before the show, they had like the showcase of like different music. You know, you could bring your cassette tapes and play for different A&Rs. And at the time, you know, I was playing like a lot of rock music and blues and stuff. So I never forget. I'm sitting there and they played my tape and they cut it off for like the first minute. It was like, wait a minute. It was like, who is this guy? This is they didn't know it was a kid, but they were like, you're not urban enough. You know? And they was like, this is not hip hop. And then, you know, I never forget it. My mom said, you know, don't let that discourage you. Go out there and do your thing. And then
that night when I played, I got like, you know, standing ovation, and those same A&Rs was like, wow, I didn't know it was a kid.
Yeah.
And then for me, that kind of fueled the fire of like, you know what, from now on, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And, you know, let the music take you wherever it goes. You know, as long as you put time and effort into it, it'll take you to, you know, many places. And, you know, for me to be able to travel all over the world and play different festivals and collab with different artists, you know, it's just, you know, it's a blessing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people, they kind of, you know, it takes time to find your niche and find out what
you
mean. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I can honestly say at a young age, you know, I was like tunnel vision. It was like, forget everything else. This is what I want to do. I can't see myself doing no 9 to 5.
I get you on that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, you know, that's what it is.
Amazing. I mean, we'd love to see people living their dreams. And, you know, we both very much understand that when you're a creative,
right?
It's hard when you have to be forced into a box to be something that you're not.
Definitely. And also, too, you know, being a Black guitarist, you know, in this time and age where, you know, I would say like around the time when I was young, you know, of course you had Slash, you know, Prince was still around and a lot of different guitar players. But as I got older, you know, it's, you know, unless you're like a musician, you know, some different guitar players and different people play instruments. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you play guitar, you must be, they try to put you in a box. They try to say, well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you get through that?
Me like, too. He said he almost took words out of our mouth. Like,
yeah, and that's what I was going to say. How did you navigate those hardships of, you know, being in a genre that typically isn't like, you know, represented by people of color? You know what I mean? And being able to showcase your talents. You know what I mean? It's been done in history, but how do you deal with it? What hardships have you dealt with?
For me, like right off top, you know, it's just always been, you know, if you're Black and you play guitar, you know, you must be heavy metal or you're gospel. You know, it's one of the you can't just be a guitar player and doing your own stuff. And you know, people like Jimi Hendrix, like Jimi was like one of the first, you know, guys that actually had, you know, a white band and also later on had a Black band and doing all this stuff. And he was the most top paid act of the 60s and breaking all genres and all barriers down, but people didn't get it until years later. And then, you know, even before Jimmy, there was Chuck Berry. And, you know, us as, you know, Black people, you know, we invented the guitar. We invented
rock and roll.
History.
Know your history, and also too, don't put it to the side. And it was kind of like for me, you know, being, you know, knowing a lot of the older, you know, musicians, you know, like Muddy Waters and all the people that came before me. But at the same time, I'm an 80s kid. So, you know, I grew up in the 90s, in the 80s. So it was like, you know, hip hop is a very big part of my foundation. So for me, my music, what I try to do is take a little bit of all the stuff I grew up with. So, you know, there's a Jay Dilla influence, there's Tribe, there's rock, there's blues, and try to combine all of that stuff. So for me, it was kind of like, you know, whatever music that I wanted to do, my own music, try to take all those different things that I grew up with and make
and bring in those elements.
Yeah, so which that doesn't put you in a box. So, you know, it can have a hard hitting beat to it, but at the same time, you're still getting some guitar flavors, you're getting a little bit of different stuff. So what if you're a hip hop person or you're a rock person? It kind of opens up your mind to different, you know, different music, you know, if that makes sense.
It definitely does. It definitely does. Another thing I do want to ask you. Being an artist, how do you find time to now balance your everyday life and your artistry? Because there have to be parts in your mind that you divide at least so you can allocate, you know, this and that towards whatever you use. How do you do it?
I mean, for me, it's kind of like, you know, I was on the road a lot and touring, and then, you know, when you come back off the road, you know, you're in the studio. So for me, it's like what I've learned over the years is like you have to separate all of that stuff and just chill, you know, give like a day or 2 days, Netflix, Prime, whatever, and just
downtime.
Just, you know, put your phone on airplane mode for a second and kind of unplug, because if you don't do that, you kind of burn yourself out, because it's like always the next thing, you know what I mean? So for me, what I try to do is, you know, I'm into sports, you know, of course, you know, with all this COVID situation, you know, it's a little different now, but, you know, I just try to chill, you know, whenever a little chance that I get, you know what I mean? So that's what I would say, just kind of unplug from, you know, at some point have a balance of, you know, of the music and kind of let stuff come to you, you know, if that makes sense.
I think that's important, especially now. Let me ask you a question, because I know you work with a wide range of artists in production. How do you find your inspiration for, like, finding their sweet spot when it comes to sound?
Me collaborating with different artists, I was always a sponge and always listening to all different types of music. So, you know, of course, you know, you have your favorite genres and stuff. But for me, you know, I'm always listening to stuff from, you know, old school, you know, what's the next thing, underground music. And so, you know, whenever I'm in a session with somebody, I try to bring all of that stuff out. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, if I'm doing like an R&B session, you know, maybe I may turn them on to like some Afro-Cuban stuff, you know what I mean? Just to say, you know, just to change up the
change
vibe.
Change it up, yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe that can, you know, spark an idea or inspiration for what we're doing. How to just stay creative as much as possible. Because, you know, sometimes it do get hard sometimes, you know, when you're trying to create and, you know, different artists, you know, everybody has different ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not the same. Everybody's kind of like, you know, I like it this way, that way. And for me, you know, definitely with collaborating, I try to be free as possible. You know, don't limit yourself to the possibilities of, you know, finding something else.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's like one of the most important features of an amazing producer is having them help you come outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Because as an artist, you can plateau.
Sometimes, like sometimes you could be like in the studio and instead of like coming in and just creating off top, just listen to some different music, you know, just vibe out, you know what I mean? And that kind of get, you know, inspired to create, you know, new stuff. So
I love that.
So when you're doing the festivals, right? I gotta ask, when you're on the road, are you still creating music?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I am. I always when I'm on the road, I always got my little you know, laptop and a little small setup, you know, for the hotel, because it's like, you know, when you're on the road touring and you're seeing all these different places that you've never been to, you know, you get inspired. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, you know, from maybe something that you saw earlier that day may, you know, inspire you to start recording stuff. You know what I mean? Because, like, what's crazy is, like, touring is, like, so many different places. You can be in one place earlier that day and the next day be in a totally different vibe.
What was your favorite spot that you ever stopped at? Like, what city or, you know, what country were you in?
That's a rough one.
I'm about to say, I got to hear some stories or something. Because I'm like, I know you ain't going forward living life, so.
That's tough. If I have to say off top of the head, I really like Spain. Spain was really nice. You know, Barcelona, Japan, Tokyo. Tokyo was like totally amazing. It's like all these buildings are huge, and you know, you think like from what you see on TV, everybody's so congested, but it's actually, you know, spread out. And what took me out was like, you know, people from our age, the older, the young kids, you know, they would come and ring a bell during the day and say a prayer before they go back to doing what they were doing.
And that's just normal for them.
And just like the music, you know, the people, the clothing, the fashion. It's like, you know, we hip, you know, we from the city, you know what I mean?
So
we know a lot of stuff, and then you go to these places and you're like, wow, this is we're kind of behind. You know what I mean?
And especially with fashion. I mean, I worked in fashion for like almost 20 years. Right. The fashion that we create in the United States, always we're a season, if not two full seasons behind Milan, France, Germany. This stuff has been seen everywhere, and we're just trying to chase it and catch up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very true that they're way ahead of us.
Way ahead of
us. I like it. So technology and everything, especially Japan.
Yeah, everything. I think the last time I was in Japan, that was this past year. That was, like, my last gig until right now. That was back in February. And I remember, like, the new iPhone, that was already out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, now we're just getting...
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that, but
way behind the times.
Way behind. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the last album that you dropped and who you have on the album, what we've been working with. I know we have one of the songs, but I really want to know, like, what was your inspiration behind it all?
Oh, but for Shapeshift? Yeah, for that song?
Whole album, because that's off your last project, right?
No, Shapeshift actually is for the new album. That's
okay.
My debut album that's coming up. My last album I came out with, it was the EP back in 2015 called 29. And pretty much that EP was just pretty much kind of like my introduction to the game. You know, I've worked with a lot of different people and just, you know, that was kind of like showcasing, you know, all different genres. So you would hear a little bit of rock, you hear hip hop, you hear a little bit of R&B. And, you know, basically, you know, at the time I was just coming back from moving back from to the city, moving back home from Amsterdam, because I was living in Amsterdam for a couple of years.
Nice.
That's awesome. I'm like,
I hear
they're 420 friendly.
Yeah.
That would do it. That would do it.
Yeah, that's 24/7. But yeah, I was there, you know, for a couple of years. And, you know, at that time, I was just kind of like, man, you know, it's time for me to come out with my own, you know, solo debut stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went well, you know, and at the same time, Rolling Stone had named me the next young gun. So it was all of this stuff that I was getting. And then, you know, coming back and just putting out that project, you know, it was real well received. And it kind of put me in my own platform, you know what I mean, as a guitarist. And yeah, from that, you know, I've been doing a whole lot of stuff. I've been collaborating with a lot of different artists. Been doing movie scores. And, you know, I was able to do the documentary with Robert Glasper, which got an Emmy for the Apollo documentary. Yeah.
Nice. Congratulations.
I love how you just glossed over this.
I know. Just throwing it in there. I love it.
Accolades are your accolades. You win them.
I appreciate it. But, you know, like from 2015 to right now, you know, a whole bunch of stuff came out. And here we are now with Shapeshift. Shapeshift is actually the first single that's coming from my debut album. That's
going to be coming,
top of the year. And, Shapeshift is pretty much talking about everything that's going on in the world right now. And, you know, it's so unfortunate that, you know, we're going through the same thing that we've been going through for so many years. And right now, you know, we need change. And, you know, basically Shapeshift means like, what if we change places, you know?
Right.
What if I was in our position, you know, how would you feel? Would you let somebody kill your kid, you know, and do the type of stuff that they're doing to us? And, you know, at the end of the day, it's pretty much, we all need to change. And, you know, we can't change anything if we don't change ourselves. You know what
Amen
I mean?
To that. Yeah, man.
So. Yeah, so that's what it is pretty much. And there's so much music that's out right now. I'm at the moment. I have a project with the legendary Pete Rock and the Soul Brothers. That single is out right now. It's called Say It Again. It features, you know, Pete Rock.
Get that, you guys.
Yeah.
Make sure y'all go and add him on Instagram, guys. I'm gonna say it again. Make sure y'all go and add him on Instagram and Facebook. Do all of that. The music is there. I already heard some of it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, that's the first project that's out. Actually, it's from Pete Rock. He came out with a beat instrumental tape. It was called Pete Instrumentals, and this one is the third volume. So it features, you know, myself, drummer Daru Jones, Monty Neon on bass, Jermaine Holmes on vocals, Big Yuki on keys. And that project will be out officially December 11th. And yeah, so go pre-order that. And then the second project I got coming out is with the group 13, which features Pheromonch, myself, and Daru Jones. The first single that's coming out next week called Fight with Cypress Hill. So check that out. You know, that's
awesome.
About that project. Yeah, that project has been, we've been working on it for like 5-6 years, and it's finally coming out. You know what I mean? Shapeshift is out, you know, featuring Aurel Lumsey and Jay Swiss. And then last but not least, I have a production team with my sister, Vicky Cassis.
Yes.
By Mach 7 Music. We have two projects that's out. The first project is called Black Summer Volume 2. That's free. So you can get that out on Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
This man is working, Kiana.
Yeah.
This man wants it. After this, and we haven't even played his record yet. I'm sitting here like,
that's what I'm saying.
This man is working. Oh, this got an Emmy for this and this. Oh, touring here. When I was in Amsterdam, I'm like, this man. Let me get into this record so at least our listeners that are tuning into our live right now can hear it and they can get a feel for your music, my brother.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about this song while he cues you up.
Which song? Shapeshift?
Shapeshift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shapeshift. Yeah, so pretty much Shapeshift is it's about everything that's going on in the world. You know, everything from, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, everything that we've been going through as a community and just as Black people. You know, basically it's our anthem, you know what I mean? So there's a dark side to it, but at the same time, there's hope and change. You know what I mean? You know, this song is for us, you know what I mean, pretty much. So, you know, check it out. I'm gonna take it.
First of all, I wanna be the black man that I am, but it's on my sleeve. Maybe I'll be a bullet. So for it seems I can move further at a range of a cop when they pull it instead of being a victim. Turn form for a gavel so I can pull the force on the other side of the system. I'll be as lost as the packages and settle for what they can be before they eject or inhale. And I still be the dopest as well. Or maybe between everybody's killing the vibe is fine.
Yana, you know what I love? It's refreshing.
Refreshing.
It feels good on the body. It feels good.
Like you said, it's our anthem.
It's our anthem.
And when you make something with that kind of passion, it's going to be received with love. Can everyone go download that now, or is it available later?
Yeah. It's out. It's out on all streaming platforms.
Great. Mm-hmm. Go get that, you guys. Go get Shapeshift. Definitely, you know, make sure that you download it. I think it's so important for us to be able to show the love and support one another. You know, we have so many messages of despair that are out there in the world. Bring some hope into your lives. You feel me? Bring some positive vibes. That's like so important for us.
Putting up in the club is cool, but like none of us haven't been in the club for like a good six,
That's what I'm saying.
Yourself, I haven't been to a club in years because I have no prayer for it. You have to be because you're the poppin'est DJ in New York, but I don't.
That's me pulling back New York, so just, you know, stay safe. Let me ask you now, how has COVID affected you as an artist? Because I know we all had to adjust in our own ways at the beginning of the pandemic.
It's affected me pretty good. You know what I mean? It's just like everybody else. You know, coming into the new year, you know, I just came off of a tour that, you know, we did Bill Withers tour with Jose James. You know, shout out to Jose. And we were touring nonstop. And the beginning of 2020, we started in Tokyo, and then we just came back, and that's when it was a wrap. Everything was like, you know, and what was crazy was we was over there. And if we would have stayed like maybe 5 days more, we would have been stuck.
See the beauty of timing?
Yeah, indeed, you know, protected for real. And, you know, from that time, you know, everything has been on hold. You know, there's an uncertainty with, you know, shows. And, you know, there is no shows, you know what I mean? So, you know, I definitely, all of us, like everybody else, had to adjust. You know, I lost, you know, a few people, I lost mentors, you know, I lost family members to this stuff. It's been heavy, but at the same time, just been able to, you know, keep my head up and, you know, stay focused and give you guys all this music. So, you know, I think
with
COVID, it kind of just put a drill in my battery to finish up what I'm working on. And, I was just able to stay busy, and, you know, I'm blessed to say that, you know, during this time, I've been able to stay busy, you know, finishing up different projects and putting out music. So, you know, and first things first is health. You know what I mean? You can't do nothing if we're not healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Health as well.
Yeah. Health as well.
You know, you, FMI, are always taking the words out of my head. I swear. We're such partners for real.
Yeah, with this feel good music that this gentleman was making, it's only right.
Yeah.
You know, so every day we wake up to a new headline. You know what I mean? And I know me being an artist, I know how it affects me because we view things differently now. Since quarantine, unsigned artists are now figuring out different ways to bring in money.
That's right.
As far as these streaming platforms, understanding the percentage of what they're getting from these platforms, learning social media marketing.
Been doing this.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's more in front, and a lot of entrepreneurs have popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You go on any of our social medias, a lot of people are now funding themselves doing what they want.
Yeah.
That boss palace. Yeah. Boss palace got all the girls with.
Super fast because like the label, a lot of these people have just been, you know, taking money out of our pockets.
Amen.
Yeah. Can you speak to any of those experiences yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I had several experiences, you know, where, you know, I would just do a track, you know, thinking like, oh, it's nothing, and, you know, not knowing the business side of it, and this was
right. Yeah.
And, you know, end up, the album came out, and, you know, my name is on it, but there's no funds in my account, you know what I'm saying? And,
that's a big,
publishing.
You know what I mean? So for me, it was kind of like, you know, it's... In a way, it's good to go through that so then you know your worth and you know what it is as an artist, you know how to do stuff, especially now with the tools that we have with, you know, social media and all this different stuff. You know, we are our own label.
That's right. We are our own label.
Like, I think now with COVID, even though it's kind of put a halt on everybody's, you know, financial situation, but it's made people more aware and more smart to step it up. So, you know what I mean? So that's what it is too. I would say definitely read your contracts first and foremost.
Yeah,
if you don't understand contracts, have a lawyer look at them.
Thank you. Don't try to bring your friend Tyrone from the fifth floor.
Or a business professor.
Oh yeah, he's in law school. He got me right here.
No.
Do that to yourself. When you gonna get tight at your friend and you're about to get messed over in your contract.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You know your worth too as well. You know what I mean? Because you know everybody's always quick to ask, you know, can you do this? Can you do that?
And,
and, you know, sometimes it's all about branding and how the way you put yourself in certain situations. So, you know, not everything is a go. You know what I mean? So make sure you check
that's right. Understand what those opportunities are, because I think always as an artist or any sort of creative, you get a bunch of opportunities and you position yourself. Like you said, I think that was a great comment. When you're putting yourself in a position to meet certain people and, you know, your network is definitely essential to any of these businesses and brands that you're building, but you can't do them all. And everyone doesn't have, you know, your best interest at heart.
Yeah, the back end too as well.
You gotta look at what you're doing.
Yeah, and also too, I think, you know, content is key. You know what I mean? You can have a whole lot of music, but if you don't have the visuals,
we talk about this all the time, right, FMI? Instead of dropping 48 songs, you know, drop one really good one, you know? Let's start with one really
good one, like three videos, and that's it. That's all you need.
You are good for at least a year on some real shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Let the music speak for itself. All right. So this is how we speak upon that. How do you feel about music being consumed faster now? You see, like a record like yours, right? Mm-hmm. How you could sit, it's timeless. You could listen to that whether it's night, day, and it's okay. Like you could vibe with it.
Right.
Now, the consumer is so used to getting music every week. And if you're not giving me the music every week, I got to go. How do you feel about that, you being an artist?
I mean, for me, being an artist, when it comes to that, it's a good and there's a bad. The good side is that, you know, there's thousands of people. You don't know who's listening to your music. So once you put it out there, you don't know who's going to come across your music. And, you know, if it's good enough, then, you know, it can go in different places. You know, other people can pick it up and, you know, maybe somebody may hear the song, maybe put it in a movie, or, you know, you get different opportunities.
True, right?
That good old placement.
Yeah, the downside from that is there's so much music that's coming out every day. Right. You know, that song, for example, can get lost in the song. Yeah. They can say like, oh, it's a political song, or there's another, you know, it's another, you know, anthem song about talking about the same thing. So now
it's an anthem song.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
bottles and club throwing and
right. So I mean, I think for me it's like, you know, if you make timeless music, I think the best thing to go about it is strategy and know how to market, you know, that piece. You know what I mean? Because we could put out 20 albums next week, but maybe five people may hear that because there's so much music that's being put out every single day. It gets lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, lost in the sauce.
you have to be very strategic how the way you put out your music, especially in a time where, you know, music is being consumed so much every day. It's like, it's crazy, you know what I mean? And, you know, people like us that are independent, you know, if I got a huge backing or I got an engine behind me to where they're throwing millions of dollars,
they
can have it on Jimmy Fallon and all these different places.
The industry plant route, there's that too. That's that's not a thing.
You know what I mean?
The right amount of money makes a lot of artists pop.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And, you know, if you got investors and all that, that's great. But then, you know, would you rather have a music, would you have your music to where investors have you in a contract bond to where now it's like, you can't put out this music, you know,
six album deal.
That's right.
So
and they have creative album
deals. Yeah, so, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, I would say, you know, put the music out, you know, and be very strategic of how the way you market your music. You know what I mean? So that means on the social media, if you have a fan base, I don't care if it's two people, you keep pumping it out. Tell people.
That's what I told them. They're going to see it.
Yeah.
They're going to see it.
Go buy it, share it. You know what I mean? And even though it's like you hate posting and every time, but if you have a small fan base, I don't care if it's two or if it's 200,000 people, you got to push your stuff.
And you got to connect with them. You know, we were just talking about this yesterday, how a lot of social media has removed that personal touch. But especially when you're independent or you're a small brand or you're an artist, connect with your audience. They're the ones buying your music.
You have to.
Why wouldn't you?
You absolutely have to.
It has been such a pleasure having you here today.
Can you please let everyone know
where they can find your music, where they can follow you, and how they can learn more about you?
Yeah, you can follow me at Official Marcus Machado, last name Machado, M-A-C-H-A-D-O. My website is Official Marcus Machado, Instagram, Facebook, Marcus Machado. My music is on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Tidal, Google Play, all that stuff underneath Marcus Machado. And yeah, follow me and just be looking out for a whole bunch of music that's coming out real soon.
And after COVID,
I
need to learn how to play guitar because I'm trying to look cool like you are. Before VPR, y'all gotta go on.
I've been playing piano for the longest.
I got you. I'm gonna say this.
I told you we still need to definitely make a song. Like, let's just do it. Corona, let's do it.
Corona, take a little back seat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But this man, I'm just like, yo. I miss DJing concert. When I watched that video this morning, I was like, I miss DJing concert when I was watching you do your thing. Cause I know when I'm in my zone, I get it. And I'm just like, it's good when I can sit here, look at the computer, and I can see like-minded individuals that share the same passion for music. Like, so it's dope. Thank you for even coming to VPR, and I appreciate you, bro.
No, man, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. We'll definitely be looking out for more music. Shout out to my girl,
Maisha.
She's the
dope. I want to get nice. Y'all think I'm playing? Well, I can't wait to have this posted up so you guys can see him because I know you guys are hearing his voice on my live and you guys are showing a lot of love. But this interview, I appreciate you, bro.
Nah, man. Okay. I appreciate you. Much love, y'all.
Thank you. Stay safe. We appreciate you. Great show, FMI.
I just said the same thing. I was like, you guys don't. You were saying it. I'm like, that's so crazy.
Guys, great show.
Make sure you continue sharing all of our content. We appreciate you so much on Instagram. You guys are continuing to show us so much love for all the videos we've been posting. We're going to keep the vlogs going. We're going to have a few things. We're getting back to the open format as far as DJing. So I have that set up now in the new spot that we are at.
I know y'all miss him getting you in your vibe as you're working, no doubt.
I used to love my Zumba fitness. I used to sit there and be doing all that, moving, sweating.
Get the sweat to shine.
Kiana, VPR, I know this has nothing to do with nothing, but we still down like a good like 20-something pounds right now. VPR, I'm trying to do it for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to slim it down for y'all.
You better get it sexy, FMI.
You feel me?
I'm just like, ladies, I don't know what to tell you.
63 now, Keanu. We were at 28 before. We're going to make it down to 230. Slim.
All right, sexy. I love it.
Thank you for tuning in, man.
Don't be hollering at my partner, y'all. He's got to stay focused, man.
I'm not entertaining him.
Go ahead, holler at him.
I'm entertaining him nowadays now. Got a little bit more time on my hands.
I love it.
Kiana, you're awesome. You know what I'm going to do with this footage? I'm going to start today. I'm going to send you over all of the other ones from last week so you can promote that. And guys, what we do here in-house. So if you guys want to lend a hand or reach out to us, and some of you guys have been asking for a Cash App button, we're going to make sure we implement that in the video. So if you guys do want to send something, that's up to you. No.
We like tips. Who doesn't like tips?
It's up to you. I mean, I'm not.
No pressure.
It goes towards the production value what we do here at VPR. And me and Kiana do so much. And there's so many other people that help us to make this platform one of the best. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate your partner.
VPR Radio with my girl Kiana and my DJ FMI.
Don't say I can't.
Opposite of a winner, remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? I'm so Long Island, my swag bar. My yard ain't 28 by 100, then why I bother? I know no nigga from South Harlem, Brett Favre, Brooklyn, that's on cue when I'm set Marvin. You a rapper, you ass betting, a billionaire. You talking to him, a social media millionaire. Flee, Lex Coupe, the Beamer's in the band. To all of my ladies and my men, and all of my people going in. Keep your head up, we doing good. 3 million, 4 million worldwide. Ain't nothing wrong with puffin', no lie. Hey, okay. And if you with me, let me hear you say. VPR, DJ FMI.